Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 29 of Revelation chapter 2. And we're presently reading a passage in verses 22 and 23. And it says in verse 22, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." And we've been looking at these verses for a little while, especially verses 20 through 22, which spoke of Jezebel. And actually, verse 23 is continuing with that same theme, as the children are the children of Jezebel. That's who God was addressing when he said that the church in Thyatira had suffered the woman Jezebel to teach, to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. The Lord began to refer to the church at Thyatira, and again, this applies to all churches throughout the entire period of the church age, that he identified the corporate body, the church institution, as Jezebel, who was involved in sinful activity, and the Lord gave space to repent of these things, and she repented not. And that is speaking of the 1955 years, that the whole duration of the church age. And since she repented not, God then goes on to say, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation." And we saw through looking at a few verses how the Bible identifies a bed with our sin, sickness, and even death. And death comes as a result of our sin. And here, this is a bed of sin that Jezebel is cast into, and God is going to judge her, the corporate church, the churches and congregations, for their rebellion and failure to turn from their rebellious activities. And so God has already done this, actually. Isn't it something that we're reading information in the Bible? And we, of course, we're used to reading things that have already taken place when we read the Old Testament. And we read in Genesis. The Bible is just an incredible book, that it permits us to read events that took place at the very beginning of this world's creation in the Garden of Eden. We actually can read some dialogue and discussion that took place in the garden in the very beginnings of Earth's history. You know, don't even think about what the world says about the beginnings. They don't have any idea. 50 years ago, the earth is millions of years old, and now it's suddenly billions. Well, they have no idea what happened even 100 years ago exactly. They can tell you some things, but they have no idea what happened at the very beginning. They weren't there. They don't believe the Bible. They doubt the word of God. And God's the only one who was there, who created all things and recorded them. And he's the only one who can tell us the truth of the beginnings of this world. And he does, and he allows us to read about it. And then he allows us to read of Noah, 7,000 years ago, and the events that took place with the flood, and down through history, we read of things that have long since come to pass and been fulfilled, and now we're thousands of years past them. And yet when we read in Matthew 24 of the Great Tribulation, or when we're reading here in the book of Revelation, where God is introducing the church age in some ways, as he's addressing the seven churches, he is introducing the New Testament church age and typifying all the churches and congregations that will ever come into existence by speaking of these seven churches. And then he speaks of the sins of the church, and that he will give space for them to repent. And these things go beyond the boundaries of the Bible, as the book of Revelation closes before the first century AD ends. And God just simply refers to things to come over centuries, over almost two millennium. And here we are now, a later generation of mankind that have entered into the world, just like our forefathers who lived and died, and their children lived and died, and so on. And now we also have lived our lives, and we're living at a point when not only is the church age past tense, and that period of time of 1,955 years has come and gone, but the Great Tribulation also has come and gone, the 23 years of the Great Tribulation, and we're presently living in those days after that tribulation. We're living in the Day of Judgment, and it's just amazing how God is still able to speak to us directly, to speak to us through his word, and to teach us things that he wrote about 2,000 years ago, and yet we're learning things that are happening right now in our time. Well, God said that Jezebel, if she did not repent, if the church did not repent, he would cast her into a bed, and then to commit adultery with her into great tribulation. And he has done this. He has completed this. He has fulfilled this word. And also what it says in verse 23 of Revelation 2, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, the Lord is referring to the children of Jezebel, or the children of the corporate church. And these children are the ones that are to come. They are spiritual descendants of Jezebel, or of that wicked woman, the corporate body of the churches and congregations that existed throughout the church age and continued in her wickedness and did not repent at all. And her children are those professed Christians that were alive and in the churches at the end of the church age, and at the time when God came to visit and pronounce the judgment, the condemnation on the churches. He removed his Holy Spirit. God himself departed out of the midst of the churches and congregations. And with that action, he put the lights out, the gospel lights out within all churches in the world, in all congregations. It doesn't matter in which denomination. And the Lord shut the door to heaven that was open within the church, so that people who heard the gospel all throughout the many churches of the many centuries of the church age, who could have heard the gospel and become saved and entered in through that opening that God had opened, now they no longer could do that. God was no longer saving in any church from the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And this caused Jezebel's children to be killed with death, as the removal of the Holy Spirit is it is a fatal blow spiritually. It was a lethal blow to the churches and the congregations, guaranteeing if any stayed within that place, if they remained in the church world, if they continued to attend their church and to worship there and to bring their children, yes, and their families and all who went into the churches and the congregations and remained there would die. It was guaranteed because there cannot be life without the presence of God. There cannot be salvation without the Spirit of God. And this is the action of God as he brought his wrath upon the churches. And it was a very real blow, a very definite and real blow of wrath against the churches, even though they couldn't see it. And it was a spiritual judgment. It was nonetheless awful and terrible and very grievous for the Lord to forsake his people and to leave them in darkness and no longer to work amongst them nor bless his word to their ears that they might hear and become saved. They would remain in their dead condition, in their sins, if they had not already become saved. And any coming into the church from that point on, well, none would be blessed. None could become saved ever again. There would be no more forgiveness, no, not to eternity. It was the end of the churches as a representation of the kingdom of God upon earth, and it was a most lethal and deadly blow to the inhabitants of the churches, which, well, there was almost 2 billion professed Christians at the time that God brought this to pass in May 21 of 1988 and throughout the 23 years of the Great Tribulation until May 21, 2011. It really is a most terrible judgment when we think about it. And yet the church was not aware of it. They didn't ever see the door to heaven when it was open. They never saw the one like unto the Son of Man when he dwelt in the midst of them. God is spirit. They never could perceive in any tangible way that the presence of God was with them. And so when he departed, when he left, when the door shut, when the light of the gospel went out and the Holy Spirit came out of the midst, they couldn't see that either. They had no outward indicator that God had left them. God did this. He revealed the fact that he did this in his word, the Bible, as he opened up the scriptures at this same time of the Great Tribulation. And it even was some time after that the people of God began to learn about these things and to see what the Lord had done as we began to understand the scriptures that had long been sealed up. And this was the precursor. This was the beginning of the judgment process. Really, judgment day began on the churches and congregations, and it was completely spiritual in nature. This was the giving of the cup of the wrath of God to those first called by his name, the city that identified with him, the New Testament church. And then God speaks of taking the same cup and giving it to the nations of the world in a day of transition, a judgment day, which we more commonly refer to that as judgment day, because it is the judgment of all unsaved people, not just those in the churches. And so God's judgment expanded to include all the unsaved inhabitants of the earth. And what have we learned? Well, we learned that God did an identical thing. Just as in the world, the world could never see the door to heaven when it was open. The world could never see the spiritual bright shining light of the gospel as it went forth, carried by the people of God. The world couldn't see the working of the Holy Spirit as he saved his people and gathered them to himself. And when God ended these things, when he shut the door, not just now to the church, but to all the earth, and when he put out the gospel light, not only in the congregations, but all over the world, and when the Holy Spirit ceased activity as far as saving and no longer was working in that way, again, not only in the church, but now everywhere in the earth, the world doesn't see anything. The world doesn't notice anything different and doesn't think that judgment has come upon them, exactly as the church continues even after the judgment has been completed on them and transitioned to include the world. The church doesn't even know that they were judged for the most part. And well, this is just continuing really a long-standing pattern with God, as he judged national Israel in a similar way when he rent the veil of the temple and they ceased to be his holy people. But, and yet today, if you speak to some Jews, some devout Jews, they will insist they are still God's holy people. And this is the pattern of God in judgment. And maybe we would do things differently. Maybe we would make a point of having man see our wrath and see our anger upon them. Yet that's not God's way. That's not according to his wisdom. And we have to just acknowledge that his ways are higher and better than ours. And he is far wiser than we could ever hope to be. And so he is doing things according to his perfect wisdom. And here we find ourselves living in the day of judgment in a time when we are beyond the great tribulation. But we're learning from Revelation 2:23 what God did to the churches during that day of great tribulation, when he says he will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. Now, just one verse I want to look at regarding killing her children with death. And it's just a grievous thing to think of young ones dying spiritually. And when they're going to church is a place that people have traditionally brought their families in order to experience blessing. It's a place where they hope to receive life, eternal life. And yet here God himself is speaking to the churches, and he's telling them when the great tribulation comes, well, there'll be no blessing. There'll be no life, no eternal life, but rather death will be the condition of the churches. And God really, I think, comments on this in Matthew 24 in verse 19, when he says, "And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And see how the Lord is pronouncing the woe. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days of that great tribulation. What a sorrowful time for parents. What a sorrowful time for mothers and fathers. What a sorrowful time for all that are in churches and congregations, because even though God says he shortened the days for the elect's sake, or else no flesh would be saved, he's referring to the character of the great tribulation in the world. Outside of the church, that's where the Lord shortened the days, and he brought the latter rain to pass, and began to send forth the gospel in a mighty and glorious way that the world had never seen, as all the earth practically heard the news of Judgment Day coming on May 21 in 2011. And through this proclamation, this unprecedented proclamation of the gospel to the inhabitants of the earth, God saved a great multitude of people. And yet at the same time, it is so tragic, so awful, that those in the churches and in the congregations harden by their pride, harden by the deceitful teachings of their leaders, harden in their steadfast position that no man can know the day or hour, and in their belief that just being a part of the church would be all that was necessary in order to be blessed of God, and not understanding the word of God at all, and how just awful and terrible and tragic it was that during a time when God was saving a great multitude all over the earth, a day of salvation, it was the conclusion of God's great salvation plan, where he was now saving tens upon tens of millions of people. And yet all those in the churches insisted that no, God was still there, and they refused to leave their church. And in doing so, they remained in a place where they were being killed with death, and there was no latter rain, and not a single one of them, not a single individual who continued in the church up until the day of judgment on May 21 and refused to leave, not a single one experienced the salvation that was so plentiful, so abundant all over the earth outside of the churches. Oh, what a terrible thing it is. No wonder God says, woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days within the churches and congregations. No wonder he says, I will kill her children with death. And he certainly did. And all the churches shall know, it says again in Revelation 2:23, that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. God is not mocked. He's not fooled or deceived. He knows what is in man. And when men take upon themselves the name of Christ, when men intermeddle with all wisdom, when they involve themselves with spiritual activity of baptism or partaking of the Lord's table, when they get involved with church things, with religion, with the Christian religion, that doesn't fool God at all. It doesn't deceive him one bit when people sign up, when they accept Christ, when they say the sinner's prayer, when they decide to now be a child of God, when they want to be born again. Well, they can do all those things and many more. They can add all sorts of good works to that. They can go on mission trips and they can build houses, habitats for humanity, and they can give of their funds. They can do whatever they would like to do, but none of it, not a bit of it and not all of it together, none of it can make one individual born again. That work and that action is only done by God himself. And he says he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And no one can make God save them or have mercy upon them. And so God knows. He knows that of 2 billion professing Christian, he knows each and every one of them in an intimate way. He knows their heart. As it says in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Jehovah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God looks upon each person within the churches and congregations during the church age and into the period of the end of the church age, and he knew who were truly his people. He of course knew who Christ died for, who received a new born again soul, and he got those people out. He drew them out of the churches and congregations while there was time in the process of opening the scriptures to reveal the command to depart out of the midst of the church. And in so doing, he separated the wheat and the tares that had been long growing together in the congregations of the world. And God got all of his people out, and he also saw the works of those that remain. And he was not deceived by it at all, but he realized that these people have not a Savior when he came to visit. Therefore, they fell under the judgment of God.